I got
this
a lot
conference
of,
will
a lot of feedback on our last call that we did, just kind of overview. So I decided to do another overview and provide some languaging. And I wanted to update you too. This week I'm going to be spending like 4 or 5 days with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 6 Gen X, Gen Yers. Okay, so I got a house load of Gen Yers. They say that the Gen Yers are the children of the baby boomers. Well, I never had children, but these are my husband's kids, my stepdaughters, and then my brother's kids. And so truly I have a load full of Gen Yers coming in, and 4 of them are spending most of the time at our house from Wednesday until Sunday. So I'm going to get my Gen Y, like, total, what did I say, entrenchment over the next few days. And I thought that one of the things I'll do for everybody, I mean, you all have the same exposure I do, but I'm really set on going after Gen Yers. In fact, tonight we're doing a training on using iPad to approach Gen Yers. That's part of our Slide Edge program, sorry. And that's going to be exciting to have that as well. But it's, I think that's one of the great tools to use when you're out there at a Starbucks, is to whip out an iPad. That's if you really want to go after Gen Yers, that's an incredibly critical part of it, because they live and die on their technology, their equipment, their small handhelds, as they call them. The smartphones become attachments to their hands, and that's how they live. Lydia says my husband calls it an attachment to our hands, so hand attachment he calls them. So anyway. So I'll get you some more information over the weekend. I'm just going to do a lot of digging, and I'm going to share some things with them, and I'm going to put together some things on the iPad and just kind of go through things with them and see their response and talk to them about, you know, how they best like to be marketed to and languaging and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to really run by some of this thing and then maybe give you a wrap-up. I may not do a third Monday call on the Gen Y group, but clearly I will. I'll cover for you either in a typed-up wrap-up document, just to give you some more ideas, because I know some of you may be out there and saying, "Well, I'm not getting any exposure to Gen Yers, so I need to hear, Mary Jo, what you might have to say." So I will feed that information, give you the feedback that I get from my Thanksgiving experience around them. And I'm very thankful that I've done this for 2 weeks now to be able to be more alert to what's going on for them. Because a lot of us, especially, like, I get so busy sometimes, and I think, and I forget that sometimes I'll send an email out to my kids, and I don't get a response, and I'm really upset about it because I can't hear from them, and I'm wondering what's going on. So I finally call them, and they keep reminding me that, Mary Jo, if you want to get in touch, text us or you know, call us or something, because they really don't. If they don't have a smartphone, they don't really use emails anymore. I mean, these guys don't email. So we're going to talk about that as well, because, you know, it's going to be an effective tool to reach some of them with smartphones, but the ones that don't, a lot of them don't ever see their emails. And that makes a difference, especially using Navigate and moving forward with the Gen Yers. So let's jump in and start talking about Gen Y generations again. And again, the more I researched this, and I did, we have like 20 more articles and books and stuff, and there's just a massive quantity of data out there, and it's hard to assimilate all of it, so I'm trying to put it in pieces together for you if you haven't researched it yourself. And the importance is to recognize the differences, and that's really where we need to be, is we really need to understand the Gen Yers. For those of you raising Gen Yers, you probably have a much better feel than Mary Jo does for what they're like. But it's the important thing is that we really understand it, because you need to understand them in order to bring them along, right? You need to bring them along in your business, so you need to know where they're coming from so that you can help, hopefully guide them in there and what's important to them. So, but let's take a peek and just, again, get some more information around this. I've put together a bunch of data that I found and information, and hopefully we can get through this today, and then we'll have question and answers, some more on that, and conclude on our Gen Y, with the exception of that one piece I'll draft up from what I learn over the week, what I, Mary Jo, learns over a Thanksgiving weekend with a bunch of Gen Yers. Okay. All right. So first of all, let's jump in. Nothing like the baby boomers. This is important to recognize, because a lot of us want to stay stuck in what we know and what we do, and we want other people to meet us where we are. Well, knowing that we're the fading, and I don't want to make that a negative concept, we're the fading generation. Yes, I'm sorry to say that our numbers are shrinking, and Gen Yers are, they're not growing because they're a specific time period, but they're not shrinking at the same rate we are because of the age differential. And this group is almost the same size as the baby boomers, so that's the critical thing to understand, that where the Gen Xers fell out to be about half the size. So we had a 10, 15-year period where we didn't make very many babies at all, and then we went back into the baby boomer concept. But I think it also has to do with population growth, because I still think the size of families in the baby boomer generation were a lot larger than they are today. But nonetheless, we have tons of these Gen Yers out there, and we need to know how to let me premise this. We don't need to know. I mean, I want to know because I believe they're a gigantic market. And one of the most important things that Lydia and I decided a few weeks back before we got into this is that if we really want to see our Manatech business grow and not just grow and then collapse and grow and collapse, we wanted to see it grow, you know, on an extended period of time, like geometrically, it's going to take the Gen Yers to be involved. Because if I keep signing up people at 65 and 75 and 85 years old, I'm building a terminal business. And I don't want a terminal business. I want something that's going to be something I can pass on to my kids, you know, for longevity, that they can be assured of income flow for the next 50, 60, 70 years of their lives as well, and my grandchildren as well. So the important thing is that we build a business that's sustaining itself and growing because we have youth, and that's what we need to go after. We always laughed at Manatech how we went to conventions, and the average age at some of our conventions was like maybe 45 or 50 years old. That's not going to work to sustain Manatech either. To sustain our drive for the Give for Real program, we need to start bringing in youthful people that are going to help run this business for the next 50, 100 years and make sure that it continues to grow. So a definite need. So let's look at them. They're not like baby boomers. Let's kick off in the outline. They're not like baby boomers because they pride themselves on their individualism. So they're very unique. They like to have incredible, unique experiences. In fact, every one of their buying opportunities, they want to have an experience with it. Very expressionist. So knowing this, that you can't treat them as a bunch. In fact, after I was doing all my reading, I felt a little guilty calling them Gen Yers because I felt like I was classifying them. Does that make sense? But you know, we have classifications and we classify. We're not judging them. We're not really putting everybody's the same. We're just saying, here's a group that are this age, and these are the influences they've had. So here's some tendencies that we can understand and learn to better work with them based on those tendencies. They shun traditional media in favor of splintered social network. And splintering social networks, I didn't know what that terminology was, so I had to research that one. And it's about dividing their time. You know, splintering social networking is like they divide their time between Facebook or Google Plus, and then they're doing some Twitter. They're just constantly, you know, shifting. They're splintering, so they don't focus on one tool. Like you and I grew up in a time probably where when email came out, we might have balked at that for a while, and then we became email kings and queens. And we probably have stayed stuck in that arena. I'm just relating my own experience as well. Versus advanced to some of this faster paced things that are out there today. We need to start stepping into the new things if we want to relate to these young people. And so we're not used to splintering our social networking. We usually have one vehicle that we're using, like emails. Now it's Facebook, Twitter, it's LinkedIn. There's a zillion ones out there that people are using to communicate, and we need to be a part of that communication system. They've also become, if you look at financial perspective, they become very distrustful of the financial services companies and investing following the recession. So that the recession, the huge recession we had in 2008, really made a huge impact on these kids. I mean, they felt every bit of it because their families felt every bit of it. They saw their parents suffer from it. So, and probably had a lot of impact on their college funds. We know a lot of kids that ended up in taking grants instead of using the college funds their parents had set aside because perhaps the recession robbed them of all of that. And so there's a lot of severe impact on this generation by the recession, psychologically, if not their own funds, but psychologically as well. So they tend to be much more conservative in their investment approaches, and they seem to be more focused on their current needs. So they're much more self-directed. They're much more self-oriented. These kids aren't usually looking. So if you approach the Gen Yers and you say, what a great way to build a retirement account, they're going to look at you and think you're nuts because they're not thinking about that. That nest egg isn't part of their philosophy or their approach today. They're looking at immediate needs. Maybe that's one of the things I brought up before last week's call. I think I talked about the student loan issue. We have a lot of people without jobs that have tremendous student loans. We have more student loans outstanding today than ever in the history of this country. You can say that's a good thing or bad thing, depending on which one you believe. I think it's a great thing that we have opened up huge opportunities for people to go to college who wouldn't otherwise be able to go. But the important thing is that we have jobs on the other side of it, and that's the thing that we've suffered from due to the intensive recession that we had. But things are looking up, and I did a chart the other day on where the job market's gone and where we've been, and there's definitely a lot of improvement in the job market since 2 years ago, 1 year ago, and we're excited about the direction this country's going. So we're seeing that's a great thing that these kids are more self-focused. So that gives you an idea when you talk to them. It's not about what they're going to be like at 50 or 60. You wouldn't present them a chart and say, this is not a group that you show the chart where it says, by the time you're 65, 40% of you are dead, another 50% are dead broke, and like 4% are able to exist because of minor finances. Another one's 4% are semi-well-off, and only 1% is wealthy. So, it's really an incredible. Those statistics for the Social Security Department, I don't know if you guys have seen them, but they're incredible statistics, and they influence people from 40 on. But those statistics have zero influence over the Gen Yers. So the important thing is that that's not what their focus is on. That's not their direction. So let's go to the second point. Gen Y responds to, and sorry about the typo in this, people, we got this out quickly this morning. Gen Y responds to emotional direct advertising. So remember when you're coming after them, emotional, and what do we have to be emotional about? We have to be emotional about some things. I don't know about you, but Mary Jo's a very emotional person. I'm emotional about how lousy our foods are, right? How lousy they are. I'm emotional. Now, that in and of itself could potentially turn off some Gen Yers because they're so fast-paced, they tend to pick up and eat, But they inherently know it's probably not very good for them, but they're maybe not focused on that today. What could they get emotional about instead of getting emotional about fast food? Maybe they get emotional because, we can lecture them to death about better eating habits, but one of the things that we have that replaces that is, how do you fix it without necessarily changing your eating behavior? In other words, adding Nutriveris, right? You probably looking at your lifestyle, you want a fast pace, you're going to stop at the fast food joints, but how do I make the fast food the best food I've eaten all day long? And here's a way to do that. So you have a solution to the problem. They see the problem, they just don't want to, their solution is not going to be to stop the fast pace. The solution of Nutriveris is huge for this group for that reason. So approach them from emotional. What other thing do we have about emotion with them? We have the Get for Real program, right? That's gigantic, okay? And we're going to talk about that in a while, too. They also like direct advertising. They don't like indirect techniques. They don't like sidelines. They don't like, innuendos. They don't like anything. They want to get it, get to it, look at it, evaluate, and be gone. They're quick thinkers. They're quick because they're used to multitasking. They don't spend a lot of time on any given point. In fact, it's somebody the other day referred to them as the ADD generation, and we can't cast that kind of connotation on them, but they do tend to jump from one thing to another thing because they've had so many stimuli in their life from the time they were born. All the new computer stuff and everything. These guys, they started on a computer when they were 3 or 4 years old. I remember buying my grandkids, these little Mobi computer things that they were using when they were like 3 and 4. And it's crazy, but it's a different generation. Know that they are looking for direct things. And one of the things they said is they don't choose benefits. Remember how we were always taught in Manatech to list out the benefits? People don't buy based on features, they buy based on benefits. Well, now you have a generation that doesn't choose benefits. They choose themselves. So understanding that, and you could read that language and go, Mary Jo, I don't understand that. What they're trying to suggest here is that they're about themselves. You could give them a list of 7 benefits, but the only benefit they care about is how does it meet my need? So this is a great group to do a little discovery regarding discovery. You know, discovery about their health, discovery about how they eat, you know, are they aware of what's going on in our society? A great page for them would be the chart that shows the inverse, that the World Health Organization put out, that shows the inverse relationship. The societies with the highest cancer and heart disease rates consume the least amount of unrefined real food. And the United States is right up there on the top. So if they see that kind of chart of that inverse relationship, maybe that'll stick in their head. They like data condensed in a small bit so they can, you know, it's like bite size. Instead of trying to read an article about what's happening to our foods, a picture says 1,000 words. That's one way to communicate with this Gen Y group, so that it's more immediate, direct, they can see it, and it captivates them because it's a picture. So think in terms of that as a great mechanism to communicate a concept to them instead of giving them, you know, a DVD or, a 20-page document or, you know, don't show them the plotter for sure. That's kind of crazy. But, you know, at the beginning, I'd show it later. But you got to be careful with this group because they're very fast-paced and they're very, you know, they're very concise and to the point. So, and you want to meet their issue. In other words, a list of 5 benefits means nothing to them if it doesn't hit upon theirs. So do the discovery work. And a great brand in their mind is delivered in first person. So it's not about how all of you would like this. No, it's about them individually. So in order to know what it is individually, you need to find out their individual need as well. So it's delivered in first person. And as I said already, don't focus on retirement, but more so on their more immediate financial goals. It could be a home. It could be a car. It could be the financial, the student debt. A lot of these kids, and I think it's a big issue with them. They don't know. It's funny because they may be paying only $300 a month, but that cramps their style. They don't like carrying that debt or having to have to worry about $300 of their cash going off to pay student loans every month. So the idea is, how do you get an income stream of $300 to $500 over here just like quickly? It's building a block. Remember how our business works? Build one block and you're making $320 a month and now you got your student loan paid off. Now your next step is to do this. And it's just a neat way of presenting it. So tie it into that and that'll build more of a level of comfort and commitment from them than anything else. Okay, number 3, it's imperative to deliver messages through multiple social networking channels. Absolutely, because they're absolutely hooked on social media. You know, they love social media. They love multitasking. You see these guys, they're sitting around with headphones listening to their iPhone music, they're texting on the phone, and they're flipping back and forth to Facebook at the same time. This is a classic, just, you know, picture of Y generation. So, you know, you and I probably, I mean, there are probably people on this phone, and I'm not, because there may even be some Gen Yers on this phone, but we're not apt to do that. That's not our norm. We might pick one of those things. If we're listening to music, we might just be listening to music. These guys don't just listen to music. I mean, they might have their iPad listening to music, their iPad on, and then they're texting and Facebooking and all that stuff. It's multitasking all the time. They love visual stimulus, and they love the visual stimulus of video games. So visual stimulus of activity like that is really big for them. But the visual stimulus also applies to what I told you earlier about, you know, showing them graphs or pictures, something that they can picture, say, 1,000 words. They rather see the picture than the 1,000 words. So the way to reach your market, and if you're marketing now, not necessarily for us to do this, but if you're marketing another product, but for you marketing to them would be Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, iPhones, launching mini websites, videos. That's where to reach your market, because that's where they hang out. That's where that is them. That's their existence. Campaign names are another great approach. Make sure that the lingo matches that of the Gen Y. So if you want to run a campaign, if you want to do a marketing concept in your community to Gen Yers, you want to hit the college campus, you've got to come up with a campaign name that really hits their lingo. And by the way, I'm looking at potentially speaking at one of the universities here in Texas to the entrepreneurship program and being brought in by a professor. That would be really exciting for me. And talk about having to get the lingo down. Boy, you better be on top of that. I don't want to sound like I'm from the retirement zones. They're going to look at you as like the old fogies group, right? So important for us to be in their lingo, understand their languaging. Number four, according to B. Fields, who's a Gen Y expert, Gen Yers consider four areas before purchasing a product or service. We kind of went over this last time, but I think it's, again, reiterating this so that you understand as you approach them with Manatech, what do you need to emphasize? What are the critical points for them? Cheap cost is really important. So, you know, when you look at Nutriveris, that should tell you right away that most of your Gen Yers aren't going to be real interested in the Ambertose, right? When we look at Ambertose, that's not their marketplace. They're not going to want to buy a $130 nutritional supplement. But Nutriveris, for less than $60, when you show them the value that they're getting like 5-in-1, that would usually cost them over almost $200 a month if they bought all five products, but they can get 5-in-1 for less than $60. That's really good. That's the way you want to present it. That's how I would present it to a Gen Yer, is that incredible benefit of like 5-in-1, right? Then you go into the next one. And what are the five? Everybody got clear on that? You've got the 100% real food vitamin mineral. You've got antioxidants. You've got the glyconutrients, which are the innovative breakthrough technology, you know, the last frontier in science. And you want to use those kind of language. They love innovative. They love innovative. They love the newest things. So that's important with glycobiology. And then you've got, that's three. Four, you've got the organic greens, which are so critical to help support the body. We're not getting enough of that in our diets. And then you get rice bran, which is really the history behind the word vitamin, or it was called vitamine. So you got all that 5-in-1. And so, and they have omega-3s in it as well as other great qualities in the rice bran. So that's how I would approach it. Good quality, what do we have around good quality? Oh my gosh. You got the NSF validation, you got GMP, the good manufacturing practices, you've got real food technology, right? And so you've got all these things that represent that you're at the top, you know. And you can even refer to them. I like to use the Blue Ocean Strategy. If you're not familiar with that, in fact, maybe we ought to do a book review on that for some of you. If you're not familiar with Blue Ocean, Red Ocean Strategy, you really need to get that lingo down as well. It's great languaging. It's absolutely great languaging. There's a good chart on the internet you can find that has that. But maybe if I get enough feedback from you guys, maybe we can do a review of that. I think it's absolutely stellar to understand because in the Blue Ocean Strategy is really, when would you use that? This is a critical part of your presentation when you're presenting the business opportunity. It's not about the just getting somebody as a consumer, but for presenting the business opportunity, it's a must. So you really want to understand that because it's so hot and it's so new and it's something that just shows that you're aware of everything that's coming out new and the new marketing theories and everything else. The third thing that they're interested in the product is fast service. So you want to make sure that they understand how quick this is. They set it on auto order. Here's your response. You got one phone call. You know, anything, you can change it just by your one phone call away and you can change it. Manatech has a huge customer service department, so they can always meet all your demands. And if you can't get through, you always have me to contact, your upline, and I'll help you out. So there's always places to go and where you can get tremendous support. And they like that because Gen Yers like to be teamed up. They like to work as a group. They love the camaraderie. They're the masters at social marketing. I mean, so you're just developing for them a whole new market. So relate to them and help them, show what an asset you can be for them and what an incredible business opportunity this is, and this thing will take off for you. Now, what their choice would be, they'd rather have you be a Gen Yer in their age group because they're highly influenced by their own age groups. But that doesn't mean you can't influence them and become a part of their lives and support them in influencing others in their group. And that's what you want to make sure, that they understand that when they step out amongst their group, you're going to be behind them 100%. So that support line will be there for them. So you want to, again, I kind of went through it. I said outline all your products and characteristics. I kind of went through that for you already and walking through those four characteristics. But that's what you want to, oh, I didn't do it. I'm sorry. The D is an experience. What is an experience? An experience is, you know, you kind of look back. Every time I look at that word, I think of Steve Jobs because I think about, you know, every time he offered a new product, he built it up and he had this grand opening and he put a huge, thousands of people would collect to see him stand on stage at a hotel somewhere, a convention center, and break out a new product. He made it an experience. I mean, he treated, but for Steve Jobs, every single thing he ever created was an artistic expression. And he made the consumer feel the artistic expression of what he created. And that's the beautiful thing about what he brought to Apple. I mean, it made the uniqueness just way out there. Well, what is the experience you're creating around Manatech? What is that experience? And you've got to decide what that is. What are you going to create for them as an experience? Is the experience going to be about stepping into the world? Your experience around this is stepping into the world to make a difference in saving children. Is that going to be your experience? Is your experience going to be the experience around feeling the exhilaration of being able to take a solution to your Gen Y friends on the eating, the fast-paced eating behavior and the neglect? Are you going to be able to help people solve that and feel like you've made a gigantic contribution around, you know? So you've got to build an experience moment for them or they're not going to be interested because they don't like just dry everyday things. You can't be just another Me Too thing for this group. They need an experience around what you have to offer. I think the Give for Real is huge because of their commitment for social consciousness. But for some, that will work. For others, it won't. But the other experience, you know, that you can tag onto is, of course, this whole concept that these people are fast-paced. They don't spend a lot of time and energy, but they value quality. And if you can show them how to lead a higher quality life in terms of health because of where they are today, and you don't, I'm not sure that statistics about where we are today in our country, you might see it. I think that chart is very big. The chart about unrefined foods is very big because they get that. And so you might present something that's a picture that could give them that reflection. Statistics aren't so much as the picture itself that supports the statistics. That's what you do. All right? So make sure you have a brand experience with yourself. What is your brand experience? Do something particular for you that you're tying yourself to Manatech in a way and exhibiting it as an experience for them. They also have distinct preferences. So when you review the business, make sure you fit. Efficiency. They're on the go a lot. Extreme multitaskers. They appreciate fast, efficient service, and they want results now. So they're not really. I wouldn't call this group of people patient, right? I mean, this is not a person that's very patient. This is a person that's very much on the go and wants to have, you know, so you don't want to spend 5 hours reviewing the business plan with them. You want to make it simple, concise. That's why I like I have a one-page chart I use because it's all in one chart. Shows them exactly what they do. This is what you want to do over the next 12 months. Here's your first 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Let's make it happen. And, you know, then they go, yeah, got it. Okay, good. So if you brought the – that's why I tell people, I said, you know, you can show them you have a system. You can show the Navigate and introduce them to that system. The plotter will probably overwhelm them, so you might do the little quick sheet plotter type thing or just outline, you know, this is what we want you to do because everybody wants to have a direction. You know, you're never going to get anywhere unless you have a direction and help them with that. But the plotter in and of itself on a first-time basis meeting might not be the most effective tool. What's going to be more effective is it perhaps walking down the path of playing on Navigate themselves. So they'll probably prefer learning it that way. And then working with them just on setting their goals and directionally, what do they need to do? They want it concise, easy, set forward, straightforward, to the point, so they can just see how they can do it. Customized, targeted, and tailored products that are one-size-fits-all or generic don't fit this generation. So they really, again, it gets back to individualism, right? They're all individuals. They want their needs met. So you've got to find their most important need and meet that. And, of course, with Manatech, it meets everybody's needs, whether it's health or it's wealth, whatever it is, whatever the issue is, whatever the need. And when I say wealth, I don't mean wealth per se, that making millions of dollars. I mean whatever their financial need is. What do they need today? They need to pay off their student loans. Do they need to buy a car? Do they need to buy a home? Do they need to, you know, pay for schooling next year because their student loans are out? Or what is there a need? And satisfy that. Show them how to satisfy that. So, and customize it. Target and tailor it to them, to their specifics. Tell it like it is. This is crucial. These guys are like the most authentic group of people. They really... they want it. They don't respond well to corporate jargon. They prefer brutal honesty and truth, the authenticity, as well as having an authentic experience. And they don't waste time on people or companies that are not being real with them. Authentic to them is cool. It's hip. It's truthful. This generation has seen it all, from televised wars to 9/11, and they watch the hanging of Saddam Hussein, right? I mean, this is what they've been exposed to. They know real when they see it, and it takes them all of about 3 seconds to pass on the judgment on it. So, again, the fast pace, the same. You know, this is not a type of person that you can screw up with in your first meeting and they have a lot of, you know, forgiveness. They move on. They're fast. They move. So you can't directly market to them until you buy into them, until you value their perspective on life. So it's important for you to know that. The Gen Ys they basically say, stop marketing to them and start listening to them. And that's, again, the discovery process. It's so critical with this group of people to go through discovery. Hang out with them, experience life with them, just like what I told you for the next 5 days of Thanksgiving. I'm going to hang out with them and experience life with them. Respect them. If you do, their outlook on life will change you. So you'll begin to behave differently and take on some new values and begin to live more yourself through your experience with them. Once you start making a little shift and starting to see all that, you're going to be a much better, you'll find more of an audience with this generation as well. And the idea is that when you're talking, you're going to be talking with them, not at them. And that's what's going to sell your business. Talk with them, not at them. Big difference. If you look at how you prospect today, some of you are talking at people. I think talking with people always works no matter what generation it is. But this specific generation, you'll never talk at them and sell them. They're going to be the with. Be with, hang out. I mean, we're even talking about going out. My husband wants to go to our church and listen to Southern gospel music on Friday night. And I said, I'm not sure, even though all these kids are all Christians, but Southern gospel music is just not quite what they listen to, you know. My poor husband. So I said, I'm not sure that's what we're going to do on Friday night. You know, it's so funny. Yeah, you know, and there's a classic lack of sensitivity to this generation, right? So be real, be authentic, meet them where they are, participate in what they like to do, and you'll be able to be with them more and have more influence over them in doing that. Doing things because they make sense, that's another thing that doesn't work very well with these guys. This is a generation that's always asked why. They don't say, just because I said so, they go, why? They're the big whyers, and that's, you know, if you've listened to some of Steve Jobs' stuff, he'll tell you, they ask him questions. I listened to an interview of Steve on my way to Lubbock back and forth, and it was just awesome to hear him. They said, how did you learn how to do business? I mean, you became a millionaire at the age of 21. You're a multimillionaire at 22. You were at 23 or 24, he was worth over $100 million. I mean, this is just an unfathomable concept. But they said, how did you learn business so quickly? And he said, it isn't about learning. It's about going in and asking why. Every time somebody says, well, this is the way we've always done it, I've always said, well, why? You know, like standard costs in accounting. He said, why do you do this? And he totally changed the accounting. And he's not an accountant, but he just would say, why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense, because at the end of every quarter, you got to make adjustments. And he says, why? So they went back and they recreated their accounting system based on actual. And it wasn't hard. It was just, you know, somebody came up with an easy, simple, you know, fallback thing. And today, with the advancements of all our technology, we don't need that, you know. And he would just go, well, why are we doing it? And it was a neat thing to listen, that that's what he talks about all the time. And that's really part of this generation. It's about why. They're going to question things. That's the way it's always been. Doesn't work. So stay away from any kind of language like that around these people, because that's like anathema to them when they're listening. Sixth part of the outline talks about a final list of suggestions given to get our message through these high-tech, hyper-connected, casually dressed, socially entrenched generation. Go back to what we said before, meet them on their own turf, just like we just talked about. It's about, and give you some statistics on there, 95% of Gen Yers own their own cell phones, 95%, and 70% of them have laptops. So again, what are their two favorite forms of entertainment? Cell phone, laptops, iPads, same in this kind. They job hunt, apply to colleges, shop, keep informed, play games, search for places to live, and socialize via one or both of these tools. That's what they use. I mean, Encyclopedia Britannica. They won't even know what you're talking about. I'm just going back to the dinosaur era for all of us. Okay? 1 in 5 has never subscribed to cable TV, and another 30% are considering, quote-unquote, cutting the cord, some of their lingo. So you want to make sure that television isn't like one of their hot items. They're really into what? They'd rather spend time rather on television. They'd rather spend time on internet, the laptops, the internet, cell phone usage, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. That's what they want. They want to stay on top of mobile and social media marketing trends. That's really critically important. That's what we want to stay on top of to be able to best communicate with them. So meet them on their own turf, and you'll do a lot better. Number two, aim for generating buzz. These young adults, they really want. They rely on word of mouth. So you want to, through word of mouth, you can send a buzz out. You can create something different, something unique, something individual. And they like the things to go, when we talk about going viral, that's the big concept with them. I mean, once something is exciting, they have a buzz, it goes viral. I mean, instantaneous. I mean, we saw that with the recent campaign, presidential campaign. Probably the number one thing that came, popped out viral was that comment that Romney made in one of his fundraising things about the 47%, they said, I can't remember the millions of people that saw that. Another one was the one that, and these are just things that I saw on the internet. I'm sure Obama had his own. But the other one was the thing when Romney in the debate said something about putting we put women in binders or something like that. And that thing went viral. I mean, this kind of a buzz like that, that's how these guys do it. And they tracked how many hits the thing had. It was like millions within, I don't know, 15 minutes. There were basically millions. It's amazing how much data can get transferred across these wires in such an itty-bitty period of time. And just that's it. So that's the buzz. When you create a buzz, boom, it hits. So how can you create a buzz? That's a marketing tool that you can use to really market to these people. They grab onto it. Connect with a cause. And, of course, they show that this generation has supported various social causes in large numbers, 81% stating they had donated money, services, or goods during the preceding 12 months in a study they did in 2011. 81% stating they had donated money, services, or goods during the preceding 12 months. 70% said they had educated others about a cause or issue, and nearly the same number participated in a volunteer activity. So, here, quote-unquote, out of the materials about marketing to Gen Yers is the following. Linking a product to something Gen Yers can feel passionate about is a strategy that has already worked well for some brands and will continue to do so. So what do we have here? I mean, this is a classic give for real. I mean, as an example, these people are major contributors. You can use that statistic, 81. It was a 2011 Walden University report that talked about this generosity, 81% stating they had donated money or services or goods during the preceding 12 months. That's huge. I'm sure that wasn't true about my generation. Not that we weren't donators, but not at that level. We really had different goals. And I looked at a chart that said, what are the most important things, values that Gen Yers had? It was amazing to me. the least value was being famous. Second or third least was making lots of money. And I know that was a huge thing out of the baby boomer revolution. We were all financially conscious, making money. We wanted to have a better life than our mother and dad did, and we wanted to create this. Well, this generation has seen mom and dad have a great lifestyle. So they're like, that's not turning on to them. What turns them on is unique experience. It's about a great family life, having a great, you know, environment to raise kids. They're very conscious about the value system and having a good value about life, making a difference in the world. That was their number one value, was making a difference in the world. Wow, that's huge. So capture that, and you have a way to do that. So connecting with the cause. Next, respect their knowledge. And the Gen Y collectively possesses the highest level of education in the history, with more than 80% holding a high school degree or higher. That's huge. So understand, these are the most educated group of people, far more educated than our generation, baby boomers or Gen Xers. So when you combine this with their tech savvy and their social nature, it makes them an incredibly questioning. Remember, they're the whys, asking why. Gen Y is the W-H-Y, right? And demanding population. So that means that you need to anticipate questions they may have and be able to respond accordingly. And they're not going to just take it for granted. You can't go and just bowl over them with your nutritional supplementation routine that everybody needs it because we're an unhealthy nation. They're going to look at you and go, that's not going to relate to them at all. Not going to relate. So it's got to come from a different relationship. It's got to be very pinpointed, very much individualistic to them, and you got to answer the why. So then the final thing on the outline was capture their attention as quickly as possible. Why? Because they are connected 24/7 with so many different things, read, see, do. So they're constantly bombarded with lots of messaging. And as a result, they've become adept at multitasking in order to squeeze as much as they can in any given day. So if your campaign, if our campaign, if our approach to them, our talk about, you know, Manatech, our talk about Give for Real, our talk about social entrepreneurship, if it doesn't immediately grab them, they most likely won't ever see it, much less talk about it or act on it. So we have, it's like you have one shot with this group. So it's got to be, that's why I'm spending so much time on it, because I don't want to make my shot a bad shot. I want to make it a crystal clear marketing approach that really makes a difference in this generation. And I wanted to share with you as well the where you can meet these people. Let's talk about that a little bit. I did talk earlier about texting. There was some statistics on that. There's that they really don't do much emailing anymore. Just look at their MySpace, Facebook accounts, and you'll recognize that they get their information from one another, not from us, and certainly not from the media. And the information they get from each other is not in emails, which most of them don't even touch anymore. And you might think you're really being hit by sending out 100 emails a day. Well, that's not going to work with this generation. They text one another. They IM, instant messaging. They watch each other on YouTube. And sometimes they do all three of these things at the same time. Okay, get that really clear. So, and most of Gen Y doesn't care about what you have to say unless you've been endorsed by their friends. Another thing why I want to spend time with my Gen Y family members, so I can get them to start endorsing me in my marketing approach. Does that make sense? I want them, if they build me up, I have a better chance on the Gen Y population than I do if I try to just introduce myself. So, because they really care about what their community says, they take each other's network recommendations very seriously. So it's important. Now, does that mean you can't work effectively with emails? No, I think you can still email, because remember, all those Gen Xers that are Gen Yers that have smartphones are all getting their emails right on their phone. So it can be great. But what's a more effective way? Like, let's say I wanted to use my social entrepreneur promo video to send out to some people. It would be text them the link, right? Just what's on your business card, text them the link and send that by text, because they can get right to it right off of their phone. So that's a way to get to them in a way. So there's just ways to approach them in a different, just a little different, a little more, less convenient for you. But if you want to reach this group, you're going to have to do some things differently. Finally, I want to just highlight, that we understand that the Gen Yers are an experienced culture, and they don't want to be told what to do or what to like or all these kind of things, and they want to be taken seriously and respected. So if you want to meet them, here's some things, some places. Let's just talk about where they hang out. What are their experiences? What are some of the, and they gave a list. In one of these articles, they gave a list like 8 things. And some of this, I have no clue. So bear with me. Number 1, concerts. Gen Yers love live music. So they love concerts. Number 2, extreme sporting events. Skateboarding, snowboarding, BMX, that's part of their lifestyle. It's all part of who they are. Number 3, movies, mainstream as well as art house movies. Number 4, hiking events. They love the outdoors. So any kind of hiking events are great. Number 5, video games and video game competitions. Cyber Athletic Professional League, Gamecaster, Global Gaming League. Trust me. When I read this article, it was the first time I heard of any of those things. So we are not in there. And I'm not a video game player, so I know I have to stop my languaging and shift a little bit. Okay, here's another one. Ready? Mashups. And here's the description of mashups. The Weather Bonk, Where's Tim Hibbard, Why Mash, and Sims on Stage. I have no clue what any of that is. I don't even know what a mashup is. So, but Lydia's going to inform me. Social networking sites, of course, we know that about Gen Y. Facebook, MySpace, Second Life, Delicious, Dig, those are all their sites they use. So important to know all of those. The ones we're familiar with are Facebook and MySpace, perhaps, but Delicious is another one, del.icio.us, Second Life, and then Dig, D-I-G-G. And then here's the last one. The 8th one is this. Tattoo parlors. 36% of Gen Yers have at least one tattoo. Isn't that intriguing? And that's fun. I've got one of my nieces probably got 3 or 4 tattoos, and my nephew, I don't think he has any, or at least he hasn't told me about them. But anyway, my stepdaughter definitely has. One of them has, and the other has not. So it's just different on choices. But 36%. So in my family, it's 50%. My Gen Yers immediately with me have tattoos. So there you go, people. Great information, right? Everybody enjoy this? Are you still working towards a Gen Y experience? Or I did put some languaging on the last page, just stuff I came up with, but I'm going to come up with more as I spend time over the weekend with my Gen Y group. I'm going to have them help me with marketing and sit down with them and talk to them about what makes sense to them, how to best do this, what would be acceptable, what kind of lingo. Give me some feedback, and I'll tape all that stuff and then record it and get it out to you as well. I'm excited about it. So how are you about you guys? You ready to go after those Gen Yers? Anyone have anything to say on the call? I know we finished a little early today. That's a good thing. Is anyone saying to themselves, I don't think this is a group I'm going to go after? Yeah.
You mentioned that you had a one-page outline of here's what you have to do, blah, 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 blah. Could you send that to us?
Here's what you have to do.
To grow a business.
You mean an outline for, like the one-page, like how to get started in a business?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can send that. Yeah, how to get started in the business. Yep.
And you just had it in one page.
Yep, absolutely.
That you are very good at doing that.
Yeah. Yep. I like the summary of just putting out how to get started in the business. You betcha. I can do that.
Right. And what they have to do and the time frame, and there it is.
Yeah.
I think anybody
would
appreciate that.
Yeah. Well. What I use, I kind of have a one-page document that kind of reviews what the business, and then I have this page that's a chart that just says, here's how you grow your business. Boom, here it is. But I can
all
send
right.
it out. Yep. I like it. I don't mind Manatech's you know, the way how to earn income with Manatech, that little trifold thing, the blocks. But
I
think these people, too wordy is right, and Gen Yers aren't going to do that, right? The problem with these people, they get visuals. They're very into visuals because they love video games. They love, this is what they love. They're used to lots of information coming at them at one time, but not written, more visual. So my chart's a visual chart. So I can just sit down and go, hey, here's a visual, boom, 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 and that's what they got. Yeah.
But I think almost anybody, because we're faced with so many things today, I think anybody would appreciate that type of look-see.
Right. But notice the difference in your language. We would appreciate it. But the Gen Yers absolutely demand it. You follow? There's a difference. We appreciate it because we don't have the time to do all that reading, so we really like the things to be more consensual. But the Gen Yers, are you kidding me? That's the only way you're going to relate to them. So it's a concept of us, you know, acknowledging a preference. They're saying this way or I won't listen at all, right? Okay, yeah, good. Thanks, Anita. That's great feedback. Good.
Mary Jo, this is Mary.
Yeah, Mary?
Two questions. One is, what ages are we talking about in identifying the Gen Ys?
Well, it's intriguing because I've seen it all across the board. If you look in different Gen Y, born between, they first start out with like 1980s to 2000. Okay, so almost a 20-year. But other people have said like they might pick 1986 or 1990. I mean, everybody kind of outlines that era a little bit differently. But if you look, they basically are cut off by 2000. So if you start back 10, 15 years from that, that's your Gen Y. Okay?
Okay.
Got it.
And then second question is, okay, we've just kind of, our age group has gotten finally into Navigate, which is obviously email. So review again the way to convert what we do
like
in Navigate.
Right.
Yeah.
What I do is, this is what I do, is like take, you know, like your business card that has that little link to your promo page.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
What you do is text that link to a Gen Yer. So they can access it through their phone instead of email. Because a lot of them, unless they have smartphones, email is just not something they access. So you almost have to set it up with a link, post it at the link, and send them out the link. Then they'll do it. But other than that, I think the Navigate, and I'm going to work with Rodney on this week too and talk to him about it. We've got to somehow figure out how this Navigate's going to best serve the Gen Yers, because I don't know that it's I'll tell you this. My nephew with the smartphone does okay with it. My niece does not. I can't even touch her. I would never touch her.
Okay.
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 Got
and
it?
So how are yes? And so how are they with XFMs? Are they responding or not?
I don't know.
Yes.
I haven't.
Okay.
I don't have much feedback on that element, and that's a good question. I should ask. In fact, what I'll do is I'll talk to Al Bala and some of the guys at the corporate who have a lot of knowledge of all the people in the field, and let me find out for you. How's that? Yeah,
that's great.
Al. Yeah, I think that's a great question.
We've been saying, okay, this is a great thing. Well, are they coming to people's houses? Are they, you know, if they're into a party thing, is this really something that is going to bring them in? Because I agree with you. It's like you've got to do something different in order to reach them, but can we adapt what we're doing? Because we're finally getting into it.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree.
Okay.
And let me have that conversation. You know, I do brainstorms with Al. From time to time. In fact, we got a new, by the way, December 11th, you guys, thanks for mentioning that. We did a big brainstorm around doing another massive, like, XFM night, like we did at the end of October when I did it. I did Manatech Live. I don't know that I'm going to be the one doing it, and I suspect not, because we need new faces up there. But we're doing another huge night, December 11th. Of trying to have, and you don't have to pay, you don't have to tap into the Tuesday Night Live event, you can do one your own, but it's so awesome, this is the whole concept behind it. Are you ready? This is a season of giving. Why not help give the greatest gift you can, a gift of life? Come to my, you know, and learn how you can participate in making one of the greatest gifts you'll ever make. You follow me? And sending it out in like we're making invites now. We're using like Christmas card things with little packages on it about come learn how to give the greatest gift of life. And Navigate, if you're going to use Navigate, Navigate's got a lot of templates already that are really awesome, so you could do that for your XFM. Or you could send it in the mail, or you could, I'm going to try to do something for Gen Y. I've got to figure out something. But it's only the 19th of November, so we have plenty of time to really work on this. So I want to help all you guys make December 11th a phenomenal night for you. So are you interested in me helping, like, put some of this together for a Monday call as well to give you all the data and how to do it? And the right? You can kind of see what we're doing. Yeah. It's just a great, I think it's a beautiful thing to get people together on a Christmas occasion to talk about one of the greatest gifts of all, which is a gift of life that you can give a child by just participating. And you can make it all about, you know, I've made a commitment. I want to help by December of next year. I want 500 children being, you know, fed these nutrients because of what I'm doing in my local community. Will you join me and support me? Follow me? Cool, huh?
Yes.
And I came up with a whole new, I don't know, you guys, I'm so excited. I came up with a whole new, we were brainstorming in Lubbock, and I came up with this whole new project around helping to feed local feeding communities. All of you have got homeless shelters and church groups probably that are feeding the homeless in your local communities, right? Well, here's a campaign for you. You go out in your community and you talk to people about how they can help. You might not want to go down there and serve the food or cook the food or all this stuff, but one of the issues we clearly have is the food we're feeding them isn't the best food. It doesn't have all the nutrients that people need. So here's a way that, number one, you can come in, buy Nutriverse for yourself. Listen to this concept. Buy Nutriverse for yourself as a member in your family. So maybe you get 2 tubs of Nutriverse, and that way you're... Okay, so buy 2 tubs, and then underneath you, we're going to sign up your wife as a member underneath you, and you can buy 2 tubs under that. Those two you can have shipped directly to the feeding organization, so you get a write-off of contribution on a monthly basis. That's a write-off. But that $100 you're spending on those 2 tubs of Nutriverse underneath you are going to give you a $25 credit on your order. So look what you're doing. You're feeding your family. That's a win. You're getting a credit, so you're getting a discount off of your products. You're feeding the local homeless shelter, and you're feeding the Give for Real program with 2 orders. Is this awesome? I mean, it's a great win-win-win-win. There's just like 5 wins in all of this, and it's like, how it's almost like it's a presentation that somebody has to almost be. I mean, you almost look at it and you go, can you turn down 5 wins? I don't know. Let's see. And here, show them all the wins and say, is this something you're willing to do? Awesome, huh? So I'll package that together too as well, because we're putting together a program for the local community shelters and things that we can really support to make sure that Nutriverse gets into all of their foods. Just like we're putting Phytoblend all over the world, we're going to put Nutriverse in all of our local shelters here. And what a great way to do it, to help people. All right? So just another thought process, another brainstorming we're doing on ways to really contribute. And those are the kind of things I think Gen Yers would love that. Gen Yers, see, this is my vision for Gen Y is this, that we get a buzz going on 5 million for 5 million. If we can get a buzz going in the Gen Yers and just watch this thing run, what a blessing, right? Because these guys, when they catch on to it, it can become viral in less than 15 minutes, a half an hour. But it's got to be done right. And I think if we manage to do that, we can really create an incredible buzz moving forward. And that would be a neat thing. I mean, we'd have no problem with this saving these kids from dying, right? Yahoo! So my goal, I'm after Gen Ys. Can anyone tell? Yes. Okay. All right, guys, anything else? Any other questions?
Mary Jo?
Yeah?
You had mentioned the chart from the World Health Organization on cancer and fine foods. Where do we get that?
Should I have Lydia send that out to you guys? I think you can find it. It's incredible. I think she found it on YouTube or something, but I'll have her send it out to all the Monday group. It's an awesome piece. It shows the inverse relationship of people dying of cancer and heart disease versus eating unrefined foods. It's amazing. It shocks.
Well, that would be great to show all generations.
Oh, no question. No question. Because it tells you, statistically, World Health Organization, of why the United States, why our health stinks. Everybody wants to blame it on other things. It's called, hey, it's our food consumption. That's the problem, right? Yeah. We want to really isolate that. And so that really will help you. You could even take that, get it laminated, and carry it around with you when you talk to anybody. It's very powerful, I'm telling you. When I looked at it, at least for me, I looked at it and I was like, bingo, you know, this is it. This is what I preach and teach all day long in one little chart, right?
So, right. Thank you.
And you know what country that was on the, I mean, this only showed like 12 countries. Obviously, there are a lot more. They only sectioned out about 12. But the country that had the highest consumption of unrefined foods, which means natural, okay, highest consumption of unrefined foods, and thus, because they were a totally inverse relate, the lowest heart disease and cancer was Laos. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And Thailand was there over in that side of the chart as well. But it just tells you they're still eating from the land. They're an unsophisticated society, a lesser developed nation, but they're not taking in all the trash that we're taking in. And that's a beautiful thing. Because you know what? It just tells you what's creating all that disease. You look at the back of the package of food you're eating today, and you just look at all the words that you can't. This is what I tell people today. I said, every time you pick up something, if you can't pronounce it or you don't know what it is, you ought not be putting it in your body. And you know what? You would probably you'd get on a very limited diet in our society. You'd be hanging out in the fruit and vegetable department a lot because almost everything in a package has problems, right? Right. Okay, everybody. All right, super. Love you guys. It's 5 after. But, well, again, happy Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have fun. Hopefully you'll all be spending time with some Gen Yers out there. I'll get the one-page document out as well as the chart. I'll have Lydia send those two things out after she gets off her phone calls. And other than that, have a happy, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you guys next Monday. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.